Well, we are at the end. We are at the end of the Ten Commandments. I know that you've memorized each one now, and if I see you after worship some Sunday, I'll say, what's the sixth commandment? You'll be ready to say what it is. So the ending comes with our reading again, these commandments, the last one now, thou shalt not covet. It's a little lengthier than some. The writer gives us a little bit more information, so to make sure we understand what that means. And then from the Gospel of Luke, the story, the parable of the rich farmer. Now, I didn't know when I picked this text that Ng would get this text as the gospel reading 1 month from today. So if she repeats this sermon on Communion Sunday in August, you know that she couldn't help herself. And I did this to her. You can blame me if you want to. So let's begin reading the Ten Commandments responsively, and then the Gospel of Luke.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Honor thy father and thy mother.
Thou shalt not kill.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not steal.
Thou shalt not bear false witness.
Thou shalt not covet.
Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's.
And then the parable from Luke. Someone in the crowd said to him, Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he, Jesus, said to them, Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Let us pray. Oh God, may your word, sharper than any two-edged sword, go forth from this place into all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. the story. There was a hermit who was wandering around in a cave. And to his great surprise, he discovered a treasure chest. He opened it up and it was full of gold and silver and treasure. He slammed the lid down and ran out from the cave. As fast as he could run, he ran down the road. And there were three scoundrels. And they saw the hermit running down the road and they stopped him and said, "Hey, old timer, what's the rush?" And the hermit said, "I'm running from the devil." "What do you mean you're running from the devil?" And then he told them about being in the cave and how he discovered this treasure, and they forced him to go back and to show them where the treasure was so that they could have it. So they hatched this plan. Here's the plan. The first of the scoundrels was sent into town to buy food and provisions. The other two would stay at the cave and guard the treasure so no one else found it. Well, the one who went into town to buy food and provisions thought to himself, "I know what I'll do. I'll lace the food with poison so that when I go back and they eat the food, they will both die and I'll have the treasure all to myself." And the exact same moment he was making his plan, the other two scoundrels in the cave made their plan. They said, "Let's do this. When the first scoundrel comes, we'll kill him. And then we can divide the treasure 50-50. Well, it happened just that way. The first of the scoundrels came back, they killed him, and then they sat down for a meal, and they both died. Wanting the wrong things in the wrong way. Our text from the Old Testament, the 10th commandment, the commandment about coveting, is specific. You know, some of these commandments are really sort of sparse. "Thou shalt not kill," "Thou shalt not commit adultery," just a few words. But evidently, you and I need to hear a little bit more about this 10th commandment. So it says, "Thou shalt not covet," and then goes into specifics. You're not to covet your neighbor's house. You're not to covet your neighbor's wife. You're not to covet your neighbor's animals. You're not to covet all of these things. All of these things you're not supposed to covet. They belong to your neighbor and not to you. And then after the list, it says, "Or anything." Just in case something's been left out, you are not to covet anything that is your neighbor's. It is your neighbor's. It is not yours. Now, there's some religions in the world that focus really strongly on this thing of covetousness and desire. There are some religions in the world that say that desire is the problem. It's the human problem. It's the big problem. And if we could just help people get rid of desire, get rid of all desire whatsoever, then people would be able to live in peace. They wouldn't want anything. They wouldn't hurt each other or take things from each other, because the desire for anything that they might want has been eliminated. So it's the killing, quashing of all desire. To be a person without desire Bible never says anything quite like that at all. Not at all. Not in the least. Desire is a good thing. And the world is a good place. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. The world is full of good things. And we even pray. You've prayed already today. Give us, O God, today our daily bread. It's a prayer of desire. And so we have this 10th commandment, which focuses on wanting. Wanting in a way that becomes unhealthy and destructive. Wanting the wrong things in the wrong way. Remember, the New Testament says there's nothing evil in itself. There's nothing bad in itself. In the book of Romans, there was this discussion about good food, a bad food, a holy food, unholy food. And the writer says, no. Nothing in itself is evil. Everything in itself is good. And so the parable that Jesus tells says, obviously someone comes to him and there's a family problem. My brother is not dividing things up with me. Tell him to do what he's supposed to do. And so Jesus gives this parable. The parable's about a farmer. He's a pretty good farmer. He's a rich farmer. And he has 1 year a bumper crop that exceeds everything that you could possibly imagine. When you hear a parable, when you read a parable, look for exaggeration. Parables are just full of exaggeration. If you don't see the exaggeration, you probably haven't heard the parable. The exaggeration here is that the bumper crop that he received that season was so large, so big, so massive, that he would be able to sit back for the rest of his life. And he said, well, how am I going to do this? Oh, he said, I know what I can do. I'll tear down my old barns and I will build new barns. And I will have enough to store. I will have enough to keep me for as long as I live. And then I will be able to eat and drink and be merry. Oh, we like that. That's the American dream in spades. To have more. More than we could ever use right now. We want more so that we can have enough to keep us as long as we need more. It's all there. More. I've had people come into my office and confess various things. I've never once had someone come to me and say, Pastor, I have broken the 10th commandment. I have wanted too much. Please pray for me that God will take everything from me that's not essential so that I can just have what's necessary. I've never had anyone ever come close to confessing anything like that. God, you've given me too much. I don't know what to do with all of the goods and riches that you've placed. I've got a problem. I'm too rich. I'm too wealthy. I have too much. No one, not once, has ever said that to me. And so we have this farmer, he has the answer to his problem. The answer is, and if you read it, it's five times in three verses. I, five times. He's so full of the I that he never hears God speak to him. He never hears God's judgment when God says, "You fool." He can't hear that because his life is so full of himself. He's so wrapped up in what he wants and what he needs. Eat, make, and drink, and be merry. Oh my gosh, yes. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of life. That's why God has put you into this world. That's your purpose. That's your design. That's your goal. Eat, drink, and be merry, and then life will be fulfilled. We will be living like God wants us to live because God wants us to fill our days with eating and drinking and being merry. The purpose of life. You can't hear God say, "You fool." Did you notice in the story that he doesn't give a thought to the farm workers? He didn't bring all this in to the harvest by himself, did he? He was a rich man. He had somebody working, maybe several farm workers. Not a thought about their sharing in the goodness of the harvest. Did you notice that it never occurred to him to say, "Now that I have all of this, look how I can help feed the poor, the needy, the hurting, the sick around me." It never occurs to him. So full of himself that he cannot hear God's voice. "You fool." Wanting too much in the wrong way is the sin of the 10th commandment. It's looking at what someone else has been blessed with and yearning to take and to want and to follow in that path. As if somehow God has left you out and blessed someone else with more. A sense of resentment and a sense of loss, of being less. We are not to look to the left or to the right, across the street or behind. We are to look at what God has given us. What God has given us is perfect for us, for our faithfulness and our obedience and our service. My favorite verse of the Bible is from the 63rd Psalm. And the psalmist says, "Oh God, your steadfast love is better than life. Take that, will you? That's the best gift you'll ever have. That's the most precious thing you'll ever know. God's steadfast love is better than life itself. And from that beginning, give yourself away. See how much you can share. See how much you can give for blessing. And you'll discover that after you've given everything you can, whatever is left will be enough. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, you are the giver of every gift that is good, and your steadfast love is the best of all. Help us to receive your blessings. Help us to share in your goodness all of our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.